There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Ow.
Those uncomfortable things we do for beauty.
Oof. Ouch.
And when it comes to whiter teeth, same story. Until now. Enjoy rinse-free whitening with new Sensodyne Clinical White. You'll get clinically proven whitening technology in an enamel-safe formula for two shades whiter teeth and 24/7 sensitivity protection. Sensodyne Clinical White, a whiter smile without the rinse.
Hello, and welcome to the Comedians Playing Fantasy Premier League podcast, a.k.a. CPFPL, with me, Matt Ford.
A.k.a.
MF.
And me, John Richardson, and let's not go into what I'm known as. You can just search my name on Twitter.
Can, indeed. You'll get some very funny interactions on there. But obviously, no FPL this week, international break, National Non-League Day, we'll talk about all that. But lots of other stuff going on, and Owen has been in touch.
Hello, Owen.
Owen says, I decided to join in the fun and go to the When Will I Die website you mentioned in the last episode. Imagine my horror when it told me I have just 7 years to live.
Oof.
I'm only 53. Thanks, guys. Quitting my job and cashing in my savings as we speak. I love the pod. Shame I'm only going to be able to enjoy it for another 7 years. I mean, I do worry that directing people towards their own death, and that website may not be fully scientific. They may make decisions based on bad science.
Yes, but then, well, I don't know. Owen can go one of two ways here, can't he, to the information he's been given. He can say, do you know what? I need to get back in the gym. I need to cut out some of the less healthy foods in my diet. I need to work less. Or Owen can say, right, 7 years left, go full Nicolas Cage. As he says, quit the job, cash in the savings. And then I think we are slightly culpable for what I think people around Owen will call a sort of self-enforced spiraling demise.
When you say full Nick Cage, do you mean full Charlie Sheen?
Oh, no, I didn't mean in real life. I meant leaving Las Vegas.
I see.
You meant not sort clear. Of actual gun-toting, drug-addled breakdown.
Yeah. I thought you meant. Yeah. I wasn't sure what you meant actually by go full Nick Cage. He's obviously done a lot of film. I thought you meant, what's he going to do? Cut John Travolta's face off and stick it over his own.
Yeah, just keeps putting bunnies in boxes for 7 years.
Just generally overact in daily life. I want a copy of The Sun.
Oh, working on a new impression there. Always nice to be nice for the listeners to be at ground level on the next Edinburgh show there.
Well, I doubt Nicolas Cage, or Nick, as I called him in the last episode. And got
yeah, Nicky,
before.
Baby.
I've just always called him Nick Cage. I just
yeah,
always...
Nicky Seaboy.
I think
yeah,
maybe
of
it's because
of the Cagester.
Nick Cave. And that gives you an existing structure through which to process Mr. Cage's name.
Who's your favourite actor, Nick Cage or Tommy C? Or do you like Danny D-Boy?
I don't know who the other two are. Are you just making them up?
Tom Cruise and Danny DeVito, that's what you call him, isn't it? That's what you called him the other night. Tommy C and Danny D-Boy.
John, I've got to tell you, I watched Top Gun Maverick last night with a bowl of minestrone soup, and oh my boy. Oh my God. Firstly, on the soup, finally got it to the consistency I wanted. I really struggled with minestrone. It becomes more of a kind of pasta and bean stew. I don't put pasta in it anymore.
It's not a minestrone then, is it?
It's a form of minestrone.
A minestrone.
Don't go grassing.
Tell me what's in it and I'll tell you what it should be called.
Okay, here we go.
Slop.
Can you just, sorry.
Ford
slop.
Young
gentleman, sorry, if he wants to listen to the answer, Mr. Speaker, this
the question several times.
Puts in onion, garlic, celery, carrot, cannellini beans, tin tomatoes, vegetable stock, cabbage, two
Ooh.
Tablespoons of tomato puree, and seasoned
tomato puree.
What?
All right, Liza Minnelli.
What are you calling me Liza Minnelli for?
God damn it. Can I get my tomato puree? Tomato puree.
Tomato puree. Well, how do you say it then? Tomato puree.
Tomato puree. Like pot puree. Tomato puree.
How do you tell me how to say it then? I got a load of shit the other day for the way I said
it. Oh, no, don't ever change that. That's brought me more joy than anything for a long time. Onions, cabbage, tomato puree.
Oh, man, I didn't...
Okay, well, thoughts with the honourable member's partner at the news of the cabbage?
Just a couple of leaves. Just a couple of, yeah, leaf of cabbage, finely chopped.
White cabbage, red cabbage, Savoy cabbage.
You know, it was the only... It was kind of... I actually don't know what it was called. I think it was Savoy, but my local supermarket's cabbage section, I don't know if anyone else has been having this, but general, finding like dark greens, just terrible standard at the moment.
Well, we're in what they call the hunger gap.
Go on.
Well, the hunger gap is the period when we've really spent our beans as far as the cruciferous vegetables are concerned, your kales, your cabbages and things like that. But the new spring growth isn't through yet, and they call it the hunger gap. It's where we struggle to get fresh produce.
Okay, transition from one season to another, effectively, is what you're saying. And
yes, yes.
Harvesting. What was the word you used? Cruciferous?
Cruciferous, yes.
What's that? I've never heard that before. It's sort biblical.
I think it's to do with the way they grow, to be honest, but it's the sort of green leafy vegetables.
I think broccoli also counts
as a cruciferous vegetable also.
It feels kind of Eastery, doesn't it?
Brassicas. Cauliflower, cabbage, kale.
I've never heard any of these words before. Well, I've heard cauliflower, kale, but I've not heard cruciferous or what was the other one?
Well, perhaps that's what we should christen your soup then. Fordy's Cruciferous Feast. With tomato puree.
Well, it was very nice. Anyway, the minestrone was great. There's some in the Tupperware in the fridge. I should be having that for my
good lad. Fridge. You bulk cook. That's the way.
I do. Anyway, watch Top Gun Maverick. I'm not sure if you've seen it yet.
No, I haven't. I can't be bothered to go back and watch the original Top Gun first. I think that's what's putting me off, and I'm sure I don't need to.
Can I tell you? I've never seen the first one.
And wow. I love
Top Gun. Yeah, yeah.
Never seen the first Top Gun. that's for a man who pines after 80s, 90s culture like you do, that surprises me. I'd have had you down as an annual watch on Top Gun.
It's just I never got round to it. I mean, there's so many things I haven't watched, John, as I'm sure the same will be for you. I've never seen The League of Gentlemen. I would like to see that. What else have I not seen? Oh, any of Game of Thrones. I'm not that bothered about that. There's lots of things. I guess the older you get, the more you realise, the more you know, you realise the more you don't know.
Well, it sounds like you have, much like Owen, you've been affected this week by the ticking of that old clock. I think I think you might not be thinking about the figures, but I think knowing the point at which it ends for you, it sounds like it has changed the way you think.
Well, it certainly made me want to hurry up and watch Top Gun Maverick before it comes off now. You know, you've waited to see a film, you think, I'm going to see that at the cinema, and then you just don't get to see it at the cinema.
Yeah, it's one of the great things. We could do a whole podcast on that.
Well, it actually drives me mad because I think it is a cinema film. That was made to be seen on the big screen, and I didn't get that opportunity, and I'm still kicking myself.
Did you get your girlfriend to make plane noises sort of running around the room to give you the sense of sort of surround sound?
I'd had the minestrone soup, hadn't I? So a dish with beans and cabbage allowed for an element of surround. Then what happens is what they call the streaming gap as we move from cruciferous films at the cinema to
the spring blockbusters aren't out yet.
Well, what happens is I'm signed up to God knows how many Disney Plus, Netflix, Prime, Now TV.
You're doing fine, aren't you? Tax deductible, of course they are.
Are they?
Well, yeah, you've done a Nicolas Cage impression. I think that pretty much any form on which you've watched a Nicolas Cage film instantly now becomes tax deductible. I've mentioned Tom Cruise, so that's Maverick done.
So if I buy a Porsche and do a Nick Cage impression in it, that Porsche becomes tax deductible.
Absolutely fine. You can take the tax off all your vegetables in your minestrone soup. That now becomes a work meal that you had last night.
Oh, my God. I mean, this is just... the tax system in this country is mad, isn't it?
It's crazy. Well, basically, everything you touch is tax deductible. That's what I understand it. So while you're working, so, you know, the chair, if you look outside and see somebody else's house, I think you own that, and that's tax deductible. Are you looking out of a window now?
Yeah, yeah.
What can you see?
Just loads of other flats.
Right, well, they're all yours and tax yeah. gratis.
I tell you what, Rishi hasn't got much stuff right. This sounds like a right old laugh. Is this a new thing?
No, it's always been the case. That's as far as I understand it. Yeah. Obviously, podcasting's really brought it to life because anybody who does a podcast now is self-employed individual. So basically, and I think podcasting, I haven't checked the legal sort of loopholes, but I think like a voice note is a podcast. You know, if I think more than 5 minute long WhatsApp voice note is a podcast. So if you're walking along the street and you're recording a voice note and it runs over 5 minutes, congratulations, you're a shareholder in Sainsbury's.
Wow. I mean, this is just...
It's all on the HMRC website, but, you know, you've got to get the help that's being offered to you in these troubled times and take it.
I agree. So what you do get is, just to wheel back to the old TGM, is that you get, when you've got your streaming platforms, what inevitably happens is they'll come on, like Amazon Prime Home Premiere for like 16 quid, and you go, oh, it's only just been on at the cinema, I missed it, and now I've got the chance to watch it. And then I think, hang on. You're already paying for all these platforms so that you can watch films like this as part of your monthly fee. You're going to buy it now. And then what's the point in having all the others? So wait. So I waited, and it finally came on. But it's been on Now TV for a while now. So part of me is thinking, oh, no, it's going to come off. And then I'll have missed it at the cinema and when it was free to, well, not free, but part of my subscription model. So I was like, we need to watch this. And I wonder if, actually, just to then wheel back to your point, whether me, being told that I've not got long to live, sat underneath that decision.
I think so. I think definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. And I just wonder if you've got any more on the sort of timing of your decision to watch it, read the subscriptions. It was a particularly exciting part of the anecdote. I wonder if you've got any more on that.
Well, I know you're being sarcastic, but I'll engage in it earnestly because I think other people are actually genuinely interested. John.
Yeah, do get in touch if you want to know what the subscription models are, exactly what the lag is, and at what point they become chargeable again. I'm sure Fordy's got that information for you and is willing to pass it on. hello@cpfpl.com.
Actually can speak specifically to Top Gun Maverick because obviously it was used to drive subscribers to a new subscription platform. Do you know what it was?
Nope.
Wrong. Paramount Plus.
Right. Okay.
So there's another one. You go, what?
You're never paying for Paramount Plus.
Exactly. I waited. Then it comes on Home Premiere. Waited. Now TV. Here's my chance. Why have I left it? God knows how long.
I'm still very much a child of the 80s and 90s. And I'm suspicious when, like a film comes on telly. Mm-hmm. I mean, straight to VCR is the sort of terminology of our youth. But then some films would go straight to like TV. Even with a film like Top Gun Maverick, when it becomes like on the streaming services immediately.
Yeah.
I know it's the new model, but a part of me as an 80s child still thinks, well, it must be shit then.
Yeah, that must be a knockoff. You know what I remember, actually? I'll never forget, you know, odd conversations, remember? I remember a film came out called Three Ninjas. Do you remember? We'd have been primary school age.
Yeah, I've got a vague. Oh, they're kids.
Yeah, I never saw it. And it was around that time where it was like the sort of thing that young boys in the... I mean, I'm talking about maybe like 9, 10 years old.
Yeah, well, it was aimed at pathetic kids like me. I remember the old one was like a tall, blonde, like cool American kid. And it was for dweebs like me in Lancashire to think, that's the one I would be.
Yes, same. I remember we must have been, because we were in the street having this conversation. It's so odd that I remember this conversation so vividly. Just a couple of classmates. So we must have been on like a school trip or something, because we were walking as a class through Snenton in Nottingham.
I love it when you say Snenton.
Snenton. I'm going to listen back to how I said some art up here. Anyway, and everyone was like, you're going to go see Three Ninjas. And a lad in our class said, I'm just going to wait for it to come on telly. And I remember thinking then, but we're going to be so old. And it was so casual. It was like, I'll just wait for it to come on telly. Now, back then, I would have said the lag from cinema to telly was at least 2 years. At least, if not three. And I just thought... But he wasn't like, oh, my mum says I can't go and watch it, so I just have to see it in 3 years, lads. He was like, oh, I'm just going to wait for it to come on telly. I was like, he's so comfortable with waiting. I found it so impressive. And I think it was the first time, in a way, I'd been emotionally moved by a classmate.
You admired his just complete lack of succeeding to the... pressure cinema. It's just like whatever, guys. You're like,
oh yeah, everything's got to be cool. You've got to have the latest thing. Obviously, never had the latest thing, but like you wanted the latest thing. He didn't even seem to want it. And I really admired him.
Yeah. Have you seen Three Ninjas, guys? Have you seen the sunrise over the soon-to-be-redeveloped swamplands of East Nottingham? Yeah. People will be eating truffle crisps on that one day.
You cow. I'm just Googling Three Ninjas.
I'm on there now. I can tell you the lead character was Samuel Rocky Douglas Jr. The younger brother was Jeffrey Colt Douglas, and the youngest brother was, I don't think you'd get away with this now, Michael Tum Tum Douglas, the youngest brother known for his large appetite and fondness for sweets. It was a real part of the 80s, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Your truffle shuffle, all that stuff.
Yeah. That's, I mean, oh my God, they had quite a few, three sequels, it's a quadrilogy, the Three Ninjas Dynasty. But the first one came out in 1992, so I would have been 9 when that came out, and it's mad. I remembered my exact age, did I not?
Did you? I drifted off.
No. Well, a ninja would have pounced, so watch it.
I'm always waiting for the ninja.
Fucking hell. Budget of $6.5 million. It grossed 29 mil. Diminishing returns, though, just to let you know, the Rotten Tomatoes, 32% on the first Three Ninjas, 15% on Three Ninjas Kickback. Three Ninjas Knuckle Up doesn't even have enough reviews to get one, and Three Ninjas High Noon at Mega Mountain gets 0%.
Three Ninjas Knuckle Up, you can't say that anymore either. That's very much something from the 90s, and I'm glad that's gone too.
Maybe at one of our live shows, we'll do a watch along.
Yeah, I think so. Let's get an audience going for this film that's had 30 years and the public have spoken and said, we don't want to watch it as shit. Let's absolutely subject our audience to Three Ninjas Knuckle Up.
Oh, you think actually maybe it's the wrong decision that we shouldn't do it?
Probably not. I think we'll pick a bigger film because, not to return to a previously had debate, but it becomes tax deductible, and I think we then become shareholders in all future earnings. Again, I'll check the HMRC website, but I think if we basically do a watch along of Gladiator, then we own a part of Russell Crowe.
I don't want to own a part of Russell Crowe.
Do you not?
No, you go, give me back.
I'd have a bit of Russell Crowe.
No, I'd rather have a bit of...
Getting a bit weird this now, isn't it?
Well,
do you know if I could take away something from anybody?
Go on.
Tom Hanks. I would take away the part of Harry Kane that had a video call with Rishi Sunak this week.
Have you seen the video call?
I couldn't watch it. It came up on one of the old, you know, sponsored feeds or whatever. Yeah. And I saw as far as, hello. Hello there. Off. Get out of football. And I just couldn't.
I'm going to watch it.
You're going to watch it now.
I feel for Harry because he's such a nice man.
Yeah, he's been put in a position he doesn't want to be in, does he?
You have to say it's savvy on Sunak's part to pounce.
I don't know. It made me hate him more.
Okay.
Such a thing is possible.
Bad move is what we're saying.
Well, I just thought, it's too late for you. Oh, hang on. Yeah, I don't like that guy best and everything he's done in power. But then I saw him have an awkward conversation with an England striker right at the point that he thought he'd become most profitable to use. And it really changed my mind.
Just watch the start of it. Kane has to lead the conversation a bit. Just kind of, I'm good, how are you? How are you? Yeah, I'm good, how are you? Just to say a massive congratulations to you. Personally. I'll tell you what I do think actually is, I would rather live in a country where prime ministers do congratulate all-time leading England scorers than not. You know? I have to put my party affiliations aside and say, actually, I don't mind if a prime minister rings up Harry Kane and goes, well done, mate. Although he obviously didn't say, well done, mate. It's that really eggy. The problem is with Rishi Sunak, you get he says he's a Southampton fan. I'm sure he's been to games. He doesn't, it's that sort of posh bloke where you just think, I don't think you actually do like football.
He doesn't look like a man carrying the pressure of relegation on his shoulders, does he?
No, it's not that. It's that kind of, yeah, I thought it was a really good game, actually. And you just like, oh, when you talk about football,
yeah,
it makes
I just
me...
can't wait to get a bit more time to get down the Dell and, you know, see Lattice thrashing the ball in the back of the old onion bag.
It is a bit like that. You just got to make, just stick to, just do polo and fox hunting, and that's the order of things.
But also, I don't think it works. I'd be surprised if anybody, I mean, I think you're the exception, is glad that Rishi Sunak has called. What I would love is to see him say, we're just all so glad to see you become England's leading goal scorer, and Harry Kane say, do you know what, having this conversation, I wish I'd fucking missed. I wish I'd hit the post, mate.
Or if Harry Kane started to sort of reveal left wing.
Yeah, thanks for the call, but you know, I'll be voting Labour. I think Keir Starmer's better person to lead the country. NHS is a mess, you know.
Well, Starmer famously Arsenal, so he's got that in common with Harry Kane.
Well, exactly. Exactly. Arsenal roots, football boots, that's what they say.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This episode is brought to you by the Weather Channel. It's suggested that brands avoid using sound effects in podcast ads. And remember to speak in a chill tone. Well, here's a suggestion for everyday life. Tap into the Weather Channel app. It's loaded with insights that help you manage your allergies, breathe easy, and
use your outside voice.
What in the weather are you waiting for? Be a force of nature with the Weather Channel app.
Do you know what we haven't talked about for a long time? The curse of CPFPL.
Yes.
It has to be noted that last week arriving at your party was Antonio Conte, and out of the blue, Spurs make the decision to sack him this week. I don't think anybody saw that coming. I think a real shock. I think I was one of the few people to sort of speculate that that might be on the cards on the podcast this week.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on the sacking of Antonio Conte?
Well, that's what it means to me is that you are now the source of the curse and not me.
Oh, I think that's been clear for some time, hasn't it? I think you passed the curse on early this season.
Yeah. Yeah, so you are the curse and not me. So you are now the dark wizard. I am but a humble, I'm kind of like Merlin. I'm like a quite pleasant.
You're one of the three ninjas.
I'm one of the three ninjas. I'm Tum Tum.
Matthew Tum Tum Ford. The England game was on Channel 4 this week. Mm. Obviously, Channel 4 have thought, let's basically do a mashup. Let's tie up some of our greatest loved formats. So they've done England players playing Countdown.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't even get the bloody call, mate. Didn't even get the text.
Oh. Did others? Was Jimmy Carr on there?
Rachel Riley was there. Rachel, I think this is a move on behalf of Riley because I wasn't there. Jimmy wasn't there. She's basically been Rachel, Susie and Jimmy. It's absolute. I mean, it was a gesture. Yeah.
And I'm fair. Three
full outfit change. But Bukayo Saka was sort of being Susie Dent at one point.
Okay.
And it's very nice. Nice to see. Nice to see them, you know, I don't think I'm seen as an athlete. Correct me if I'm wrong. Hello at cpfbl.com. I don't think people consider me athletic. But you could see the fear in their eyes doing what I do week in, week out. And I think if I did bump into any of the England lads now, I think they would show me a bit more respect. You know, were I to bump into, Eric Dyer, he'd say, God, you know, we had a go at what you do. And I've got to say, hardest game in the world. You know, I just couldn't do what you do. The pressure there to do the little numbers thing when the little clock is going do 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 do. You know, you basically, that's like a World Cup final and you're doing it week in, week out, double records.
Mm. You are very brave, John. I mean, you know, the whole country does really...
Well, where's my call? Where's my call from the PM? I mean, I am definitely, I think I'm right in saying this. I think in the history of Countdown, I must be the leading scorer. I don't think anyone in the history of Countdown has ever scored as many points as I have.
The phone's ringing, John. Do you want to answer it?
Oh, hello.
Hi, John. I just wanted to congratulate you on scoring more points on Countdown than any panellist in the show's history.
Oh, who's this?
great sense of humour. And it's that lovely sense of humour that's really made the country fall in love with you. Of course, it's your Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak.
Oh, hello there. It's an absolute nightmare to talk to you. If you need any help with numbers, I don't know if there seems to be a few problems in your crew at the moment regarding numbers and perhaps where money might be spent. I can tell you now I'm available for a cheaper rate than most of the people around you, your Hancocks, your Hands, all these people.
Yeah.
You're Chen Ji and Ao a lot.
Well, look, I know that people are looking at our government and saying, hey, look, guys, you said you're going to bring inflation down. You said you're going to get economic growth going. And you've also said that you're going to sink the small boats. And I think what I really want to do is focus on sinking those boats in the channel, because I think that's what most people care about.
Sure. And if I could just, it's an opportunity for you really in front of our audience to just let loose and talk about football for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about Southampton. Why do you think they're in some of the problems that they're in this season? And who are your favourite players?
Yeah. Well, look, as you know, I'm a big sainty boy. A big fan of Southampton. You know, as we all know, we're founded on the 21st of November, 1885. And we play at St. Mary's Stadium, which has a capacity of 32,383.
Are you on Wikipedia?
No.
No? These are all facts. You're reading your tattoos?
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, we compete in the Premier League. And we used to play at St. Mary's. No, we do play at St. Mary's. And we used to be at the Dell. And we're called the Saints, John, because... you know, our club's beginnings were church football team at St. Mary's Church. So, look, I think that I've laid out, and my government has laid out, a detailed plan as to why I'm a Southampton fan. And, you know, I loved watching, you know, Ricky Lambert score in the match. And, you know, you just want to see goals, you know. And I think we're going to bloody well score them.
Okay, well, I'm going to let you go. I'm sure you're busy fucking everything up. Just to give you a little tip off, I work with a man called Matt Ford.
Uh-huh. And, yeah, great satirist.
No, not that one. Let's just say...
Oh, the shit one.
That one, yeah.
Tum Tum.
Yeah, loves the Chinese.
Yeah, what's his catchphrase? Tomato puree.
Tomato puree.
Yeah, I mean,
yes. Well, let's just say your friends at HMRC might benefit from a closer inspection of his tax return. I had a chat with him this morning, and he's basically claiming everything. He's got no understanding of how the tax system works whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, I heard that he'd been given advice that anything he looked at was tax deductible, and I think anyone giving that advice would be subject to police enforcement action.
Okay, well, Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, sit on it and swivel. Saints are going down, and I hope you follow them soon after. Go f*** yourself.
F*** you later.
Well, what a privilege it was to get that
call.
How
does that feel? How does that feel, John?
It's just nice to have the acknowledgement, really, that I am England's greatest goal scorer.
A point scorer on Countdown. Did we watch that Countdown bit in the pub then?
Yeah, we did, yeah. Did we? Yeah, I think we did. Yeah, because it was... Oh, no, well, I think that was before the second game. No, I tell a lie.
Oh, right.
I think they aired that before the Ukraine game.
It does feel weird, Channel 4 doing football, doesn't it?
Yes, yes.
You always feel like there's going to be a serious... It'd be almost like if The Guardian started doing Page 3. You know, I don't think this is what your kind of vibe is. I don't know. It just feels like there's always going to be a sort of journalistic element to it.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It sort of speaks to the uniqueness of it that they've done a mashup. You know, the BBC wouldn't do like a, you know, EastEnders. Oh, we're showing a football game. Let's get them down the Queen Vic. You sort of don't need to do that, do you? But that if they do it again, I obviously would, you know, just love to be involved, guys. Just give me the call. You know, who doesn't want to see me and Calvin Phillips just hugging on the Countdown set? Maybe some. You know, just light physical contact. There's just something like that. Just holding each other on the set in front of the big cock.
Ooh.
Who doesn't want to see that? Probably him.
I agree. I think everyone wants to see it. So we've got to make it happen. Make it happen, guys. They listen.
They're always listening.
We sort of briefly touched on football there. Obviously, there's no Premier League action, but there is space and time. And what's interesting is the mess that is the bottom of the Premier League, that just that last win that Leeds had has changed the Easter fortunes of all their fans. It's amazing how we're in no less trouble now, really, than we were a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago. But it feels like, do you know what? We're 14th. Get a couple of wins and we're going to be all right. What's the mentality at Nottingham Forest at the moment going into the international break?
Slightly different, obviously. I mean, I don't mind the internet. I loved Saka's goal, by the way, against Ukraine. I thought it was great.
It was a lovely strike.
peach.
And Kane's pass for Saka's assist and Kane's finish. So, oh, that is what he does. Loved it all. Well, obviously, the dark clouds are gathering. I've got my Leeds tickets now. I'm going to Leeds United.
So jealous. I'm so sorry not to be there with you to protect you from what, to be honest, is going to be an absolute verbal onslaught.
Yeah.
But I wish I was going to be there. I'm missing a lot of games this season, and it's upsetting me.
Well, I think you get to more than I do. So, you're ahead of me in that regard. But we've got Wolves at home on Saturday.
Huge. We've got Arsenal away this week. Yeah. It sort of doesn't matter, provided we don't get injuries. And of course, Max Vober got injured on international duty. It's not very good for us. But as long as they're all back for the Arsenal, I'd put out the under 12s. You know what I mean? Doesn't matter, does it? Let them have their fun. And then we've got our crucial games coming up.
Yeah.
But we've got to destroy Nottingham Forest. That is the only a victory that is so comprehensive that the club basically folds.
And if you lose, what if you lose at home to said
Yeah, I think we'll
Reds.
Probably get relegated.
Now, on that night, so the Tuesday night, and we may well speak before then, listen to these fixtures. Bournemouth, Brighton, Leeds, Forest, Leicester, Villa, Chelsea, Liverpool. So actually, if Brighton beat Bournemouth, we beat you, and Villa beat Leicester, then it all just flip reverses all over again.
It's going to be a horrific end to the season, isn't it? It's going to be really unpleasant for anyone who is a fan of one of those bottom clubs.
And we
for
are.
For everyone else, it's going to be a delight.
And let's be honest, we are.
What do you think? Because as a Leeds fan, I'm under no illusions that to the neutral... by which I mean fans of other clubs.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Like I will say, I tell you, I wish would be the bottom three. I know for a fact that almost 99% of fans of other clubs would put Leeds in their dream bottom three to go down.
Oh, 100%.
Maybe change slightly under Bielsa. But what are you still of this sort of misguided belief that everybody loves Forest?
Not misguided. Hang on, you've misrepresented both sides of the equation there.
The
belief I have is not misguided, which is that as far as neutrals went, and I think this applied more last season than this season, there was a general view, I would say, that it would be nice to have Forest back in the Premier League.
Yeah, for a bit.
Yeah. Now, since then, I would say perhaps the transfer policy may have changed people's opinion a little bit. And then obviously individual rivalries develop, don't they? And Twitter being the place it is, yada, yada, yada. But I would still say, on the whole, people prefer Forest to Leeds. And based on what you've just said, I think you agree.
I think probably. Well, I think people love to hate Leeds. I think it's one of those clubs that people want around so they could. I think this is the dream period. I think they're enjoying the fact that we've had Bielsa and we were all prick the bishop again for a while. and now it's all falling apart again.
Then it falls apart. Then it falls apart.
So
I do sing that to myself from time to time.
I can tell you exactly who the most hated clubs in the Premier League are.
Okay.
And I can tell you that Leeds United are much more disliked than Nottingham Forest, unfortunately.
Okay,
so the company Midnight have done a study of only 1,000 fans, which I don't think. I mean, if you interview 1,000 Leeds fans, you're going to get a very specific set of results. They've spoken to 1,000 fans who attended Premier League matches to talk about different fan bases. So
Premier
not necessarily
League.
The club, but the fan base. And the most disliked fan base in the Premier League is...
Oh, hang on. So this is the fans that...
The
so that's
fans
slightly different.
Talking about other fans.
Yeah, rather than just the club.
So who are the most dislikable fans in the Premier League?
Liverpool?
No. Liverpool were second with 15.6%.
Man United?
Manchester United, 20%, one in five votes for Manchester United, followed by Liverpool, Chelsea and Arsenal, third and fourth. I mean, that's just basically who's the top four for the last 10 years, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then tied for fifth place, still in Europe, Tottenham Hotspur and Leeds United. So producer Danny and myself, amongst the fifth most unpopular set of fans in the country. And
it's mad, isn't it? That's on you.
It's
not the players they hate, it's you. It's you two.
Do you think?
Well, yeah, you're the fans.
Yeah, I am a bit of a twat.
They hate Danny and they hate you. So where do I come in the league?
I can't see. Let's have a look. Nottingham Forest came out as the fan base with the nicest set of supporters, with only 0.6% of votes against them.
Well, well, well. Thank you, Britain.
What would you like to speak to the people and just thank them for? It's basically saying you're not really seen as a threat. That's what it is. You look at the clubs at the top. They're the hardest hit. They're the clubs that take points off you. The fans are there week in, week out. They cheer when they win. They cheer when they lose. I think that's what they're saying. Like, God, I hate these fans who really get behind their club. I'll tell you what fans I don't mind. The nice ones.
This is going as a cauldron, mate.
Have a cob and shit their pants on the way home.
Well, that's great. I want to congratulate the British people on their judgment.
Mm-hmm.
On the whole, the British people get the big calls right. And this once again proves it. Well done, Britain. You nailed it. I felt like a Paddy Power advert. Well done, Britain. You nailed it. You're welcome.
Awful business.
What my impressions?
Paddy Power.
Paddy Power.
Paddy Power. Before we go,
mm-hmm.
Would you like, given that Forest are getting relegated, would you like some more good news?
I'd love some good news.
442 Mag, which I think they're going to have to rename now, aren't they? Because it's just 442 won't mean anything to modern football fans. They'll have to call it like 451 or the inverted Christmas tree.
424.
Pass it out from the back. I'm sick of it passing out from the back. I hate it.
But also, formations change during games, so they'll have to keep reprinting it during the week. It starts 4-2-4, then it'd be like 3-5-3. Like, oh, man. What?
They have done a article on the best badges in the Premier League. And who do you think came on top?
Well, obviously, I think it was Forest.
It was Forest, yeah.
It is, because it is. I mean, objectively, you have to accept it is beautiful.
Well, yeah, I mean, it helps that you called Forest, so, you know. It's going to be a tree, isn't it?
But it could have been a state.
That's the great thing about Nottingham not having anything else in its sort of history. It's not known for anything. There's no sort of notable people from there. It's just Forest, a picture of a tree.
Well, it wasn't our original crest, was it? So you're wrong there. And secondly, it could have been multiple trees. It's the simplicity, the beauty of the badge that
do you know. It reminds me of.
Go on.
The Conservative Party logo.
No, it doesn't. You're just saying that to try and get a rise at me. No, it doesn't.
It's a tree. You both pick trees. Yeah, the two trees.
Well, the trees are on all sorts of things.
The Tories and the Forest. They're the same people.
And what does that
mean? You got the same PR company in to consult, didn't you?
No, we didn't.
People love trees.
No. An architect came up with it. It was
what a waste of money.
The Evening Post in the 70s. You know nothing.
I love how defensive you're getting.
And don't forget, we had the tree first. It was Cameron that brought in the tree logo. Before then, it was the hand holding the torch.
So Cameron's a Forest fan?
Well, he doesn't know what club he supports, does he? Villa,
no.
Burnley, you know, any West Ham, you know, anything in claret and blue.
The Forest logo could be drawn.
Forest logo.
Ah, you twat.
Yeah, because you knew. You know what? Whenever you mess up and then you get called on it, it really hurts you.
What have I been called upon?
Go on then, what are you talking about? Go on, slag it off more then. What else are you going to
do? No, I wasn't going to slag it off. I was going to make a joke about something. I've already made too many jokes about this week. I'm going to save it because I think it's going to become a runner. Yeah. Should we do Hit the Post?
Yes. Nathan has emailed on a walk. Get in touch if you're on a walk. Hello at cpfpl.com. He's addressed it specifically to me. So
really?
Do you want to hear this? He says, hi, Matt.
Go on then.
All right, Nathan. He says, I'm out on a walk right now, so I thought I'd email in. I agree with John. I can't really work if I've got music on. But obviously, see, this is the thing. It's one for you and one for me, isn't it? One, he's obviously listening to the podcast while he's walking, Team Matt. But then he says he can't work if he's got music on, Team John. And then he adds, thanks, no Grandad Nathan.
Oh, all right. Odd, he's emailed you to agree with me.
Yeah.
Perhaps he doesn't want me inflated. I don't want my ego pumped up anymore.
I think a lot of people feel like that.
Yeah, he would have got too much swagger on him, that little arsehole. Sam has emailed in on last week's controversy.
Hi, Sam.
Hi, both, he says.
Hi,
that's
mate.
How you start an email. Get everyone involved. Oh, that, strictly speaking, that does exclude producer Danny. So if you could not listen to this, please, Danny. Just listening to season 2, episode 53. Means
yes, I know the one.
John wanted details on why a fellow emailer was parking so far away from his office. I too am someone who parks 20 minutes away from their office, and this is due to a few factors. Within Manchester city centre, the parking can be very expensive. So I use the early bird special at Victoria train station.
Okay.
I get in before 9 a.m. and I can park for up to 12 hours for £5.50. The subsequent walk also allows me to get a Greg's breakfast along the way, bacon sandwich, no butter, plenty of brown sauce, and an Americano. It gives me plenty of time to insult every member of staff I work with in my head before I arrive at the office.
Lots going on there.
He says, keep up the good work. Loving the pod. Please, can you arrange a minute's applause for me when I die? Cheers, Sam. Happy to do so. Oh, he's not died yet.
Well, I'm just giving him a trailer. That's what it part of
you
it
don't.
Was,
well, I mean, I will say, if you die, the sound of one person applauding sounds sarcastic.
Well, you know, slow
we
hand
pause
clap.
To remember Sam, who listened to the CPFPL podcast.
Well done, mate. See, what's interesting about that is he's getting his walk in, but then he's crashing that by having a Greg's breakfast.
Yeah, I don't think it's an exercise walk.
Have a banana,
I think
it's pal.
I think it's a mental exercise walk. I think what he's saying is, I like to make space for my mind at that time in the morning. And I think that's nice. I take back everything I said about the commute walkers.
What do you think he does for a living? Why is he so exercised about insulting his colleagues pre-work?
Yeah, it suggests a lot of colleagues in a sort of open plan office space, doesn't it? Yeah, that's not somebody who's going in and he's got his own door that he can close. That's somebody's, I've got to have my bacon sandwich now because they'll all take the mick out of me if I walk in with it. I can't have my Americano at my desk because you're not allowed hot drinks at the hot desk. There's a lot of, you don't want to, I mean, it's just down a wormhole of just email after email, but I'm fascinated by the bacon sandwich no butter. Is that a dairy thing?
Could be.
Certainly maybe not a veganism thing.
Maybe it's just a slight, it could just be pure personal preference. He could just not maybe like butter that much. It could be a way of reducing the cholesterol. It's a way of just start making it a little bit healthier.
Oh, I don't know. You're on a slippery slope there, aren't you, I think? Taking the butter out of a bacon sandwich.
It does feel like once you've gone all that way, you might as well just load up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or just get fruit instead. But a bacon sandwich every day, I mean, I think we talked about this before. You know, when you go past a cafe and you see a lot of builders in there having like the Olympic breakfast chat, I would need to sleep for days after a meal that big first thing in the morning. And yet these guys are out there, they're literally building the world. Fueled by processed meat and fried bread.
Grafting though, aren't they? In a way that I don't think podcasting is a similar exertion.
I agree. But
have you had breakfast this morning?
Yeah, I have, yeah. Do you want to know what it was?
Yogurt, chopped apple.
Yeah.
Come on. Not banana.
Yes, chopped banana.
Any more fruit?
Blueberries.
Blueberries, well done. Get the antioxidants in.
Big cafetiere of freshly ground coffee.
Lovely cafetiere.
Feels like a nice note to end on.
Yes, that's all we've got time for this episode. We'll be back later on in the week. There'll only be another one.
So get in touch with us. Tweet us at ComediansFPL or email us hello@cpfpl.com. Are you out on a walk right now? Let us know. Also, have you ever tried to get a minute's applause or silence for a friend or relative at a football club? We need
to.
What I'm going to do this week?
I'm going to make one up and email it in just to end this feature. I'm going to set up a whole new email account and just send in an email so that you can stop asking.
And please share, subscribe, review, sign up for extra bonus content at anotherslice.com and leave a 5-star review because it helps us get up the charts. Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye.